welcome to Accent of Women, a show by and about women from diverse cultures and languages right across the world. I'm Zoe. This program was produced in the studios of 3CR Community Radio. Casey Kickett is a proud Wajak, Uyid, and Baladang Noongar woman from the southwest of Western Australia. Casey is the co-owner and director of the 100% Aboriginal-owned business, Kurdas Crew. Casey has a range of formal qualifications and has combined these with her experience in being a mom of four and her growing knowing of Noongar country and culture to create Kurdas Crew, where she hopes to contribute to creating spaces for the current generation of children to connect deeper with Noongar country so they can build on their knowledge as they get older to work with Noongar colleagues and friends on the challenges and opportunities later in life with a better understanding of Noongar worldviews. Thank you so much, Casey, for your time. Could you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Kaya means hello, and yes, in Noongar. Kaya Nyangkurl Casey Kickett. My name's Casey Kickett, and my Budja or my country is Noongar Budja, Noongar country in the southwest of Western Australia. More specifically, my families come from Wajak, the Wajak region, which is the Perth metropolitan area, more so. Baladong, which is out towards the Wheat Belt, which is where the Kickett name comes from, Uyid, which is just a little bit north of Perth, and we also have connections to a very small town called Williams, a little bit south of Perth. I am one of the co-owners of Kurdas Crew. I'm also the director of Kurdas Crew, which is 100% Aboriginal-owned, quite new business running here in Boorloo, Perth.
What motivated you to establish this business?
So Kurdas Crew exists because before I was at Kurdas Crew, I had been always engaged within the Indigenous community, whether I was working for community or with community in non-Indigenous organisations. And I've worked in cultural heritage and native title. You know, I've worked in creating and managing programs for Indigenous communities across Australia and into the Pacific Islands for Indigenous communities as well, working with Pacifica peoples, who are amazing, I must say. And what we consistently found, what I consistently found, was that no matter the level I went to, I was an executive before this, whether I was an executive, whether I was someone on the ground, whether I was in the middle doing all the paperwork, there was a very big gap in understanding Indigenous worldviews and cultures. And obviously, we aren't a homogenous group within Australia. There are hundreds of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples from different communities, different countries with different languages and cultures. But it really felt like there was this consistent gap, whether that was on the East Coast, West Coast, North, South, it didn't matter. And so when I've been trying to discuss big problems or big challenges and potentially even opportunities with my non-Indigenous colleagues or organisations, it always felt like we were starting at ground zero because they couldn't understand our worldview in that everything's connected, everything's relationship-based, place-based is so important. And it was like on repeat. So before we could really get to deeper conversations about best practices and whatnot, we always had to go through this education process. Sure, we could work through it, but it wasn't very organic. And it came out of a need for something to happen. And I always wondered, after I've had my own children, you know, we would engage our kids in, or we continue, you know, we teach our children all about their Noongar culture, you know, that they have other Aboriginal cultures that they are a part of as well. But they know very deeply about their Noongar culture, as you know, as their mother, that's my responsibility, and their country and their obligations to both of those and community. You know, sometimes we would go into their schools and teach things, and it just seemed like what we were teaching to the children were the same things we were teaching in our places of employment. I came to realize there's obviously something systemically quite wrong with this, and it's no one's fault. You know, the curriculum many years ago didn't teach Indigenous worldviews. In fact, it was a huge whitewash of Indigenous worldviews. We were pretty much erased from that space. I know they're trying to introduce Indigenous perspectives in a lot of the curriculum now, which is amazing. But still, the people in the current places of employment largely don't know much. And we just thought, wow, wouldn't it be amazing if, say, in 20 or 30 years, we contributed to the system teaching the current Kulungas or the current children Indigenous worldviews so that when they get into places of employment with our children, they can start working on these challenges and opportunities with that base understanding already existing. So our kids don't have to teach. They can go in and that they can build on what they already learn. The other side of this is we really hope that specifically with the kids learning about the countries that they live on, and the cultures that live, that have cared for these for our country for millennia, that they also develop a deeper sense of place, and hopefully, maybe quite somewhat selfishly, will wish to take care of our country as much as we do, because they have a deeper belonging to it. So there's a few different levels to it, but there's kind of the idea of Kura's crew, where it initiated from. So it's not a band-aid approach. It's systemic, and it's long term, and it engages people with where they're at that point in time.
Is it only for children? Can you please explain a little bit about Kurdo's crew?
So Kura's crew operates on three different levels. We have cultural workshops and tours, and they are largely accommodated to children. That's where we specialize in, and we specialize in that because we have four children of our own. So we've got the harshest critics you could ever imagine, believe me. We do those for adults as well. But then we have a consulting arm, which is where we work with organizations or people who are wishing to work in a more culturally safe manner. We can do that across Australia, although once it gets to like very cultural specifics, people should obviously be engaging in place-based community organizations. And then the third pillar is providing free services where possible to Indigenous organizations or Indigenous communities. So that we're working with children, and we're working with adults and with our community as well, ensuring that we're accessible across all three of those lines.
How did you learn these skills?
I feel like I'll fall into that role. So there are a few different skill sets that are required to run quarters. In regards to the consulting side of things, like a lot of that has been through my professional experience over the last 10 or so years, and just being, as I mentioned earlier, being in this place of repeating education over and over again. Also within that, having like tertiary qualifications. In regards to what we're teaching the children, it's somewhat complex in that. So some of that knowledge has been passed through family, although some of that had been lost because our family, unfortunately, were involved in the stolen generations as well. And then other parts of that knowledge has come through working with amazing community members, so and elders in that sense over the last decade. A big portion of what we talk about when we're learning, when we're talking about country and plants and seasons and all of these types of things, is I was a ranger. I was a Noongar ranger for quite some time, and so we were always out on country. We were always looking after sites. We were finding even new sites, or not new, but finding sites that hadn't been viewed for quite some time. And so being out on country as a Noongar ranger with another Noongar ranger, I must say, who was an amazing person, who taught me a lot as well, really gave that time to observe country and put together like pieces of knowledge that you hear from family or community, but then actually seeing it in country occur. And that allowed the time for that observation and to really happen. And again, it's backed up with I have a when I went through uni, one of the specializations I did was Indigenous knowledges, and we had a group of like quite a few elders come through and talk about things specific to Noongar country as well in that space. So it's kind of a raft of ideas, but I will say that I'm not an expert in everything, and I will be learning until I'm gone. And I honestly think that the best way to, well, obviously the best way to learn is through elders and through community elders, but also being out on country. It's one thing to hear something and understand it theoretically, but being on country and testing things yourself as well, is a really big part of it.
Interesting. Could you please tell us about what do you do for with children? For example, do you have workshops or any art programs?
So at Quarters Crew, we specialize in tours and workshops for children, specifically between the ages of around 4 to 12 years old. And we run both workshops and we call them bush cartaging tours or bush knowledge tours. So we currently operate in a tourism sense over at Wadjimup or Rottnest Island. Now, I'm not sure if you or your view or your listeners know much about Wadjimup, but Wadjimup is a Noongar name for Rottnest Island, and it has a very layered history. So Wadjimup was originally is actually so it's an island off the southwest of Western Australia, and at one point in time, it was actually connected to the mainland when the seas were far lower.
Oh, interesting.
Noongar people would walk across the land bridge and engage with it as it was any other part of the country. Then, as the sea levels rose, it cut off Wadjimup from the mainland, and so Noongar people didn't visit Wadjimup anymore. But it remained a very important part of Noongar culture, in that it became an element of, or just beyond. Beyond Wadjimup on the west end is a place called Kurunup. So it became a part of Noongar's beliefs of what happens when you pass. And there's a far longer story involved in that. As colonization hit, Wadjimup became a prison for Aboriginal men across Western Australia. And it is the largest death in custody site in Australia. And so there is a burial ground over at Wadjimup that unfortunately has a lot of Aboriginal men, including our family, lay there. And the prison known as the Quad continues to exist there. Now, our community in the Noongar community and also the broader Aboriginal community has done a lot of work with the Rottnest Island Authority to heal country and heal community, because the men who went there, I just want to make very clear, did nothing wrong except for purely exists, like taking out core law people or people in community who have obligation to protect country and people and to hold certain knowledges, removing them and placing them elsewhere. Like it is a form of attempted genocide, and it was in a bid to take over people's countries. So they were removed like for near on nothing. And some men tried to escape, and some men did, you know. But if you ever go over there, it's a hefty boat ride on the ferry. I mean, I get sick as it is, and I can't imagine rowing myself there. And this is what the men would have to do. But the community have done a lot of work to try and heal country and heal community in the last specific, like for a long time.
You are tuned to Accent of Women, produced in the studios of 3CR Community Radio in Fitzroy on Kulin Land and broadcast across the continent via the Community Radio Network. Today, I'm joined by Noongar woman, Casey Kickett, the director of the 100% Aboriginal-owned business, Kurdas Crew. You can find more information about Kurdas Crew on kurdas-crew.com.au. KORDAS-CREW.com.au. Could you please explain to our listener if community can go to the island?
So community is always welcome to the island, but I think there's been a lot of work done in the last couple of years, led by elders and senior figures across the WA Aboriginal community, really, to heal country and heal and in a bid to heal community, to make it so that people do feel more comfortable from the Aboriginal communities across WA coming to come to the island. In saying that, there is a broader need for education about what has happened at Wagyamup in the broader Australian and international audiences. We found that although there are some tours that provide this education, they typically about the prison era of the island. They typically started around ages 12 and upwards. And so for the little Kulungas or children before they reached 12, there wasn't much for them from a cultural perspective. And we thought that it was really important to build the understanding so there is empathy for what happened from a younger age. So what we do at the island is we don't talk about the prison history with young children. What we do is we primarily discuss Wagyamup before it was connected to the mainland, and we talk to them about the different plants and different uses, and we just get them to understand that Wagyamup is actually Whadjuk Noongar country and it's a very special place. And we get them to engage with the country so that they see Wagyamup at a different level, so that when they are ready as they get older for this other heavier history, they'll feel a deeper connection to it. Because what we are concerned about, what I'm concerned about, is that without building the stepping stones for them to understand that this is still a people that exist, this is still a people that are within their community. Some people don't have a relationship with our community. This might be the first time they engage with us, that they might have more empathy to what about what has happened, because we don't want that to repeat. And we see incredibly high rates of Indigenous incarceration here in WA, actually, and across Australia, and deaths in custody repeating. So again, it's a systemic reason why we're doing this. But we really want to help the children connect with Wagyamup at a different level than, the beaches are great, ice cream's cool, but what about connecting it from your court or your heart? So you feel what we feel when we go to Wagyamup as much as we can, Oh, sorry, I probably didn't mention it. Then over on the mainland, it's similar in that, apart from the context of Wagyamup, we're wanting to introduce children to Noongar culture, Noongar values, Noongar worldviews, and bring them a deeper connection to the country that they live on. So we do that through everything that we do is largely hands-on. Even if we're talking to children about something, we always have a hands-on activity. And I think that comes back to the way that Noongar culture is learnt as well. But we speak a lot about different seasons and or different aspects of Noongar country. Sometimes we like to talk more about the why rather than specific traditional knowledge, because a lot of our people are still learning that themselves, us included. So we like to really talk about, why are things like this and how come it worked? And, what have you seen and why might that be this way? The children love it. Like they really, it feels like there's a real hunger out there to talk about their place that they live in and to understand it at a deeper level. In fact, some of the things that we've been hearing from community, from the non-Indigenous community, is that it feels as though their children are missing this sense of place. They're not getting out as much because they've got tech. There's a lot more things happening in the world, so they're not going out connecting with like their neighbors. They're not going, there's less bush to be around. There's less, and so we really hope that we're filling this gap that can sometimes exist, so children are more interested in engaging with what's around them in our country.
Thank you. How do you help children to connect to the land or country? What kind of activities do you do with them?
So the activities that we do with the Kulungas or the children very much depends on where they are and what they are ready for. So our favourite way to share our country and culture are through the Bush Cardigan or Bush Knowledge Tours, which are actually taking children out into Noongar country and teaching them about the plants, getting them to experience things, getting them to test certain things themselves. And we find that the kids really love that. Sometimes we might also build a corant, which is like a, or otherwise known as, people sometimes hear about it as a Maya Maya, which is like a traditional Noongar shelter. The kids love doing that. And then, you know, sometimes it's not possible to take children out into country, depending on locations and weather to some point as well. So that's when we bring workshops indoors. And sometimes we can bring an element of country indoors. And then in other times we might talk about those concepts. And one of the ways that we do it is we try to get things that children are already very aware of, like Lego or Play-Doh or other things. And we connect Indigenous knowledge or worldviews through Western toys, in a sense. So one of the most popular ones we have is called the Cultural Legoscape Workshops. And in those workshops, what we do is we talk to children about the current Noongar season, about what they might see, what they might hear, what they might find. And we ask the kids, what have you seen in the local country or area? And with that knowledge that they've just been shared, they'll then utilize Lego and create a little Legoscape of their local area with all the different elements of that Noongar season in it. And the children love it. What we find is with kids, when they're doing hands-on activities, it breaks down this little barrier of nerves that sometimes exist. And it helps to put in practice what they take in information, from their ears, obviously. Like they take in information that's been verbally delivered, and then they're recreating that through their hands. And so it helps to reinforce their learnings, but through a creative method and through something that they already are very well used to. You know what? And it's the specifically the Lego workshop, we find that especially little boys really engage with it. And that's a specific demographic that sometimes we have a little bit of trouble engaging, because like talking face to face sometimes isn't really their thing. But they love the Lego. And I have seen them make some extraordinary Noongar seasons using Lego. So yeah, we try to connect something that they're already very well aware of with, Noongar knowledge, which for some people is like a quite foreign concept. And I think by mixing the two spaces, it really helps to create a learning environment that I think can make the most nervous kid come out of their shell and connect to a knowledge that's been here for, over 60,000 years.
Interesting. Okay, so what skills do you feel children are missing these days in their regular schools?
I think that question is very much contextual in that different children need different things. And I think that comes back from from many, many different reasons, but also from a cultural basis. I think overall we're seeing a bigger push to include more Indigenous perspectives in mainstream curriculum, which I think is a great step forward. The issue that we consistently see, though, is that a lot of the teachers, even with the best intentions and really want to engage, don't necessarily know how to include Indigenous perspectives, and they feel very nervous. And sometimes when they feel very nervous, they don't do anything because they're too nervous to offend anybody, so they just don't do anything. So I think there's a big gap with the training of teachers. This is just my perspective as both a mother and as someone who helps teachers do this. And many teachers might feel very differently. This might just be specific to WA, but it seems that there is a gap in the training of teachers in how to best engage within local Indigenous perspectives. And I think they're really wanting to know how to do that better, but there seems to be a gap there. And the thing that we constantly hear from local councils and parents as well is that, as I mentioned before, some children are really missing this sense of belonging and a sense of connection to their local area. We in Perth, we have a rapid residential There's a lot of people that need houses, and we have a huge urban sprawl. And so we've seen a lot of bushland go in a very quick amount of time. So quick that actually houses haven't been built in some of these places for years. So I think people aren't only missing this link, but they're actually missing the country that was there. For some people, it's very hard to get to local bushland. So I think also finding local bushlands to go to has been it can be helpful for people. But within our schools, I would say there's a growing hunger for Indigenous perspectives, and the curriculum's pushing this, but I think we just need to support the teachers in being able to feel comfortable in knowing how to do that with the most appropriate ways, and in engaging the local communities to assist in that. I think the biggest thing that I constantly see is that there is an expectation for our local communities to do this for free. Our local communities have jobs, have families, you know. It's amazing that we're at that point where the system is ready for Indigenous perspectives and knowledges, but it cannot be done for free. The system is already putting an additional burden on an incredibly overburdened people. So it probably needs to find a way through that as well.
Thank you so much, Casey, for your time.
Thank you.
Today, I'm joined by Noongar woman, Casey Kickett, the director of the 100% Aboriginal owned business, Kurdas Crew.
And that's all we have got time for today. Accent of Women is produced in the Melbourne studios of Community Radio 3CR with the financial assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The show is distributed nationally via the Community Radio Network with a special thanks to the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia. Music for Accent of Women was written and produced by George Kanjeri. If you want to hear this show again or any of our previous programs, you can download the podcast from 3CR's website, 3cr.org.au. Go to the Accent of Women page and follow the links to this week's show. If you want to get in touch with the producers of the show, you can write to us at accentofwomen@gmail.com. You can also like our page on Facebook. Thanks for tuning into the program. I'm Zoeing, and I look forward to your company again next week.